I shouldn't talk about them. I'm sorry. I shouldn't do that. That President Obama signed into law, and AIG gave these kickbacks to their executives, hundreds and thousands of dollars, which, what was it, $164 million? Mm-hmm. In bonuses. See, but I thought he said that he was going to correct that when he got in office. He can't correct nothing. And then he comes to Anaheim, to Southern California, talking all mean, and I'm going to search it, and you ain't doing nothing, boy. You better shut up and let them people run this mess the way they've been doing it. You know why they did that? Let me share something with you people. You got to understand the world. See, the nation put that idiot in office, and to prove to the nation that they were duped, they're going to continue to do what they've been doing, and the people of the Obama nation are not going to do anything because they've been unplugged. Totally unplugged. And that's why everybody's, we're outraged. We're, yeah. What are you going to do? Nothing. Nothing. That's the way it's been from day one. That's the way it's going to be. And we're going to run this thing to its course until it runs its full course, and you are duped. We want you to buy and keep buying with stuff you don't have. And when it crumbles and falls apart, then we'll take you to the next level. Yeah, right. Whom do we believe? Does America stand at the same juncture now as it was back in 1980, this person asked? Or will we continue on the same way for many years, possibly even decades? Here's a person says that my parents have passed away and they left us considerable stocks. Man, Wilkerson must know people that got a lot of money here. Woo! And he said, now it is my position to decide what should be done with these funds. What? I got a quick remedy for that. They got so many social welfare programs in the inner city. Why don't you just, donate it to the poor peoples in the inner cities and the major cities around this country? What do you mean, what should you do with the money? See, that's what I'm talking about. Christians, stop playing games. Look at the people in Bangladesh. Look at the people in Jafar. Look at the people in Africa starving to death. And you asking, what should you do with the money? What is your problem? You probably bought one of this man's books and made him richer, but I don't want to talk about him. I'm just letting you know what. See how silly these questions are. And thus far, Dave's been answering the questions correctly. Okay, this person says that if I remove them from the market, we'll have to pay a lot of taxes, and our large judgment would still be many, many years away. See what I'm talking about? That doesn't make any sense to me. Listen to this. I feel I have a responsibility to my children and grandchildren to help provide for them. If this is the great judgment of our country and all of our unbelieving sins, then I would do well to take the money out, pay the taxes, and ask God to give me where's the best place for the remainder for this in the family's use. Wow. Book goes on and says, this is an area of very large responsibility. It has taken several lifetimes for our family to accumulate this money. Can you believe this? You people, all the starving people around the world, and Christians ask, what should I do with this money? I don't know whether you ever heard of the responsibility of beneficence. But we Christians are supposed to be a beneficent organization, right? That meaning helping people, just, you see where the people need some help and you automatically give to that person's care. Letter goes on and says, I have Christian friends who doesn't seem the least bit worried about any of this. In fact, I totally changed my investment thinking and remained out of programs that would have proven very good because of the knowledge of what God revealed to me in 1980. I had known that the timetable was this. Had I known that the timetable was this long, though, I could have gone, though I could have gone on. But we don't have that kind of knowledge available to us right now, quote unquote. What, you know what? I thought that you went to God. Wouldn't he give it to you? See, I'm telling you, the God is not concerned about your investments in stocks and annuities. God is not. Trust me, first century Christianity was not involved in that kind of foolishness. And I know some of you are financial advisors and some of you believe in that kind of stuff. Well, it's a way for you to make some money. I just want you to get real with it. You know, and you got people around you that are looking at money instead of looking at God. Well, what about my money? How can I keep my money? How can I keep my property? How can I keep this? Wait a minute. I told you that you're just a pilgrim and a sojourner. If you're a first century Christian, well, I'm not. I'm a 21st century Christian, and I want my stuff, and they can't have my stuff. They're going to take my stuff. What am I going to do without my stuff? I hope the judgment comes tonight. Here's a quote. Many people are making decisions based upon their belief and our relationship with God. I am as well, giving this subject more consideration than I ever have before, Wilkerson says, because of what I believe about your walk in the Lord. And I believe the directive that God gives each of his children should be very similar. Well, that's your belief. See, I don't believe that. And it says, if we are about to enter a time of major chaos, that is knowledge that the Lord would want each of his children to know. This is true. If the market is going to totally collapse and we have food, water, and medical shortages, then God would want each of us to know this as well. That's true too, Dave. Keep talking. He will direct us individually to various areas of service. That's the key. But of these major subjects, we all should know the same thing. Why don't we? And how will we know when he is speaking to us? Here's another quote by Dave. I am asking for more of an explanation than may be possible. I pray for each of us during this time that we may be in God's will. You haven't said anything. Of course, you can't say anything, because if all you're going to say is that we may be in God's will, you better hope you're in God's will as you're listening to this. Follow along with me. That's why I'm telling you, friends, I told you that I'm going to read through this, and I'm going to read through it because I think it's a time to read through it. He has some helpful insights there, but this is my word to you. Do what God has instructed you to do, my friend, and please, in the name of Jesus, if we're going to look at God's concept of prosperity, you need to hear the word of the Lord. That's all you need to do. Dave goes on and says that many of my friends expect me to answer as an economist would. They want me to give them some hard-earned wisdom from my studies, some kind of insider advice that I may have gotten in prayer. In fact, that I'm not a prophet, that I don't know anything about economics, but I have no doubt judgment is at the door. I agree, Dave, because I've studied God's word on the matter, and I realize that many people may not want to hear this. By the way, let me say this. That's why I'm reading it, because a lot of people don't read in my community. But I believe that the most important thing that we need to know right now is God's word. You hit it right on the head, Dave. That's it. Sadly, multitudes of Christians have neglected their Bibles for so long that they have so little of God's word, pure word, preached to them that they no longer are confident in what he has to say to them. They don't consider the scriptures their answer book anymore. Instead, they turn to the wisdom of the world. But the Bible says itself, it warns us, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? 1 Corinthians 1:19-20. Do I trust in an economist? No. Do I trust in a financial newsletter written by unconverted economic wizards? And I may say, converted economic wizards. No. Do I trust in mutual funds, stocks, bonds, money market, investments, pension funds, social security? The answer is, as Dave says, No. In short, I don't have confidence in any financial institution today. As Christians, we cannot put our trust in financial institution, government agencies, or economists when God says that He is going to shake everything that can be shaken. Isn't that something? The ice cream man. Maybe we can put our confidence in him. Christians cannot put their trust in financial institutions. We just can't do that. We've never told to do that. Isaiah prophesied that they shall go into the holes of the rocks and into the caves of the earth for fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty. When he ariseth and shakes terribly the earth. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 19. When God says, I'm going to shake the whole world terribly, you'd better believe that it's going to be an awesome shaking. The financial world is going to tremble violently beyond anything that you could imagine. Now, that's what the Bible says. And that's why we don't want to read the Bible. Because if we read the Bible, it's going to scare the Hades out of us. Well, that's the whole intention. Dave says that he's heard many people say that the only safe place to put money now in the United States is in treasury bills. That is probably true, Dave says, but even that kind of investment pays very little interest. Who cares, people? If you're trying to do something to get money, look, is that what it is? And isn't that what got us in the state that we're in the first place? Is all this greed and money and holding on to it. Look at what my family left me. Look at what my family left me. I got this money. I got that money. What? Is that what living in America is all about? And then you won't share a dime of it with anybody that needs it. My goodness, you know what we're doing is we're hating the poor Hispanics that's coming across the border because they're coming into our country legally. And now we tripping out because we think that they're bringing bombs in to blow us up, and they may be doing that. I saw the movie Red Dawn. It's a great little film. And it's basically coming to pass. You guys ought to rent that movie in your video store and show that on the Friday night Bible study and then ask the group, what should we do? Well, Dave goes on and says, I tell you that there are no more safe havens on this planet. He's right. The only solution and answers are Bible solutions and spiritual answers, and I don't mean just some impractical theory. Dave says that the hard truth is this, and I quote, if God is going to shake all things so that the only things left standing are those which can't be shaken, then we're to seek out those unshakable things and get on solid ground. I believe that God's word clearly reveals that these unshakable things are. He reveals what they are, and he has given us an easy understood plan, not only for how to survive, but how to prosper in hard times. There's a kind of believer who prospers in everything he does. And so in chapter 2, he moves down to this. He says, God's word describes the prosperous believers in this way. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That's Psalms chapter 1, verse 3. The word prosper here in this verse means to overcome all adversity or to go over adversities. In the words of the psalmist, this believer is going to overcome whether his adversities are spiritual, physical, or economic. See, I like that because the Bible supersedes your mind. God supersedes your mind. You're trying to hold on to what you got. And God says, I can't bless you until I smash everything you have. Ooh, I be loving the Lord. I be loving him, man. Because, see, that's the way you need to do it. Hey, you're trying to hold on to stuff. And he says, man, I got to tear that all up to show you who I am. And then when the whole nation sees who I am, now I'm ready to plant something in there. That's true biblical Christianity. In contrast, David says, the ungodly are not so, but they are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Psalm chapter 1, verse 4. And even according to Jesus, the storms that's coming will panic the wicked, driving them into despair. He foresaw men's hearts, failing them from fear, looking at the things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Luke chapter 21, verse 26. See, know your Bible. You got all the answers right there. Yet the godly will not be driven to despair, for they are going to face the same violent winds of calamity, the same awful times. They will prosper in spirit. Well, I love Dave because he hit it right on the head. He didn't say prosper in body. You may not be able to get your medication and have a massive heart attack when the crisis starts. Well, why did the Christian die? Couldn't get his medication. He's dead. But if God can keep your heart without the medication, he can do that too, all for the praise of his glory. Do you believe it? And it's not about you staying alive anyhow. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Let it be said, let it be done, let me die. Let's get the heck up out of here. All right. We're going to face the same violent winds of calamity that the sinner does. But they'll prosper in the spirit. In other words, through it all, they'll still be doing good work, spiritually prospering and overcoming, even in the worst of times. That's going to be the way we Christians look. This is God's measure of prosperity, although it's the kind that's recognized are sought. It is not the kind that is recognized or sought by the world. See, this is the kind that is sought and recognized by the believer. It doesn't consist of wealth, possessions, and hoarded assets. It doesn't consist in all that. Instead, it includes peace, comfort, and provision in the absence of fear and terror when the world begins to shake. Now, I know some of you thinking, well, I'm a premillennialist and I'm going to be raptured. Right, you're going to be around here digging up for some potato spuds, wondering if the rapture took place. And if you hear one of my webcasts, I'm going to say, hey, he hasn't left me behind, nor you either. I want to know how you faring while the world is getting torn apart. Does it matter? Or you said, no, he's supposed to get me out of here before. No, well, you don't trust him then. Because I trust him through the good times and the bad. Dave writes and says that the New York Times reports that a number of wealthy people in New York City already have their golden parachute, that is, their plans for escape, in place for when the storm hits. They've bought retreats in the country, and they're stockpiling up food, supplying up their guns. Their chauffeurs are on alert, waiting to scoot them out of the city at the first sign of rioting and violence. And when the Lord begins pulling down every trusted institution in America, the panic hits the nation, and the only real wealth left will be the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and his wonderful ways. All true security rests in him, my friend, and only by being in him can we have peace of knowing that no matter what calamities befall us, no wind, no storm will be able to blow us away. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? The Christian who is prosperous in hard times is the one who has given up on the counsel of the ungodly and who has cast himself on the word of God as his only guide. Now it looks like, and let me check, because I was saying that I hope I don't go over an hour, and it just hit the hour mark, so I'd better stop right here. Next time we begin, we're going to begin as we continue in chapter 2, when we kind of like delve on these thoughts. David says of the prosperous believer, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Psalms 1:1. The psalmist is speaking about much more than a righteous person's being enticed to indulge in abominable lusts, or to go to wicked places with evil companions, or to associate with godless mockers. David is talking about where we seek our advice and get our counsel. Hear me and Pastor Dave on this, friend. This verse is saying, blessed is the believer who refuses to make decisions or invest or be influenced by the counsel of ungodly experts who hold God's word in derision. He describes a believer of his prosperous. He then describes the behavior of this prosperous believer. Look at this, and then I'll let you go. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he doth meditate day and night. Psalms 1:2. In essence, David is saying, if you want to be prepared, you're going to have to forsake all of your dependence upon secular thinking. God will not allow his bride to depend upon anyone or anything of this world. His followers are to have the mind of his son, Jesus Christ. And like Jesus, they are to seek the Father with their whole heart, their whole soul, their whole mind, all of their strength. At this point, you may be thinking, Pastor John, Pastor Dave, your message is trickery. It's deceptive. First, you led us to believe that we can prosper in hard times. Then you refuse to give us any sound advice on how to go about prospering. Instead, you fall back on this nebulous concepts like just trust God and trust your Bible. That's old stuff to us. And it's not practical at all. I need to know where I can put my money, how to prepare, how to act wisely, how to survive. Dave says, well, I'll tell you what Dave says when I come back next time. God bless you.